It's Monday, December 20th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network, and we've really got a great show lined up for you. Lots of stuff to talk about. And yes, whew, it's almost Christmas. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the very rainy but beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Oahu. Hey, everyone, welcome to the show. My name is Todd Cochran. Of course, I want to welcome you to the show. And wow, I mean, it has been crazy since the last show. And many of you had joined me for the 24-hour podcast, for the podcast awards, for the Saturday morning tech show. It's just on and on and on and on. But back here on a very rainy Monday night here in Honolulu, and we're in the midst of winter. But I'm obviously wearing shorts, and it's a rainy 80 degrees, and I got a cord tangled up back here. I'm gonna knock some computers over. A rainy 80, and but very nice. Hey, of course, I want to welcome all the Ohana, all the longtime listeners of and now viewers of the show. Thanks for being part of the family, being part of the long, you know, really, for, you know, being subscribed and putting up with me when I'm sick and traveling and everything else that goes along. But that's what it's all about. That's what it's being part of the family. And, of course, it's almost Christmas time, so, you know, it's even nicer that you're here and enjoying the show. And, of course, those of you that are watching on Ustream, and tonight, for the first time in a while, up on Justin.tv, we're up as well. And I played the intro, and I was looking down at the Justin monitor, and I said, oh, yeah, I've got that patched differently now. So I used to patch from the old TriCaster into the to the secondary laptop, and I've actually got it patched to the mixer, and I'm like, they can't hear the intro. The folks on Ustream can. So I'll get that squared away from the, you know, it's just one of these things when every time you adjust the office and one wire's out of place, it's, you miss something. But of course, the listeners from 178 countries worldwide, thanks for being here. Thanks for staying subscribed. And, if you're new to the show, the most important thing you can do to make sure you never miss a single episode is to get over to geeknewscentral.com, check out all the great content over there. And when you're there, subscribe to the RSS feed. You're going to find a number of options. You're going to find the video feed. You're going to find the standard podcast feed. You're going to find the special media feed and our the Morning Tech Show. So what's going on there is the Morning Tech Show is a show I do every Saturday with guests. The regular audio and video podcasts are for this show here, which I record every Monday and Thursday night. And the special media feed is about to get lit up in full of data. And it's really, it happens just a couple of times a year when I start jamming a lot of content into that feed. That's the feed you need to be subscribed to if you want to stay abreast of all of the content that we're going to shovel into the CES feed. For those of you that are, you know, have not followed us from the show before, it's going to be crazy this year. We'll talk a little bit more about that here in a second. But get subscribed. Subscribe to all the feeds. That way you'll never miss a single episode wherever I'm putting content up. And that's the best way to be hooked up with this, along with getting signed up for the newsletter. The newsletter contains everything that I'm going to talk about during the show, and then I email all the URLs and all the links to all the content, and you'll have that right there in your inbox as you're listening to the show. And you say, "Oh yeah, I want to go check that article out and see it." So the show tonight was run a little late, and one thing that you notice, the voice is closer to being repaired. I did great over the 24 hours. At about hour 20, it really started to go downhill, and still coughing a little bit and still dealing with that, but much, much better as compared to, you know, even this one show go for last Thursday. And so I'm glad. I need to be 100% healthy, popping the vitamins, doing everything I can to make sure I'm healthy for Las Vegas. Let's talk just a little bit here about what's coming. And really, a great announcement tonight is that we signed Audible as a new sponsor for the CES 2011 content. So what we have on board now, we have Luxor on board. We have Audible on board. We have GoDaddy on board. Now, GoDaddy's going to be giving us a really cool deal. I can't reveal it yet. I'm waiting for some banners and stuff, but it's going to be a deal for only for new customers, okay? So if you're already a customer, it's not going to help you. But for someone that's a new customer, this is going to be a big one. But for right now, I still have got some great promo codes. We'll talk about that in a second. But, you know, I've been an Audible user for just a little over a year. And I think the preconception on Audible is that, you know, Audible's for people that don't have time to read books. Audible's, you know, for people that don't read good. It's really not the case. You know, I really didn't know what to expect when I signed up for Audible the first time, you know, because I kind of had some of those preconceived conceptions as well about the service. And so I have a couple of favorite authors that I like to listen to or like to read. And one of his books was out. It was a sci-fi book. So I immediately, that was the one I picked up. And those was the first one I listened to. You know, when you read a book, oftentimes you're reading and you're like, man, I don't want to lay this down because it's really good, you know, and you don't want to, you sometimes just stay up all night reading. I don't know how many of you have done that before. I have. Listening to an audio book from Audible, they hire professional speakers or annotators or narrators, and the annotations and the voice and the way they the affection and everything is just, it's almost like listening to the story in a completely different way. And I encourage you, if you want to check Audible out, go over to audiblepodcast.com/CES, audiblepodcast.com/CES. Sign up for that 14-day free trial. Check them out. They give you a free book right off the bat. You can sample it immediately. You can set it up so it goes right into iTunes, and you can manage it, and you just use your media player right there. Or they have a variety of different ways you can listen to the content. So check out Audible. Along with that, of course, you know, GoDaddy here. I'm, you know, obviously a longtime sponsor of the show, and this is really GoDaddy keeps the lights on in this studio, and it's important that if you're looking for domain names, hosted accounts, SSL certificates, whatever it may be, get over to GoDaddy.com and check them out, because they've got lots of specials going on in the Christmas time. So sometimes my promo codes get super, really, they don't get used because there's so many great deals. But before you get to that checkout counter, make sure you come over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Check out all my promo codes, and I would appreciate it if you'd use one of mine. Todd will save you 10% on non-domain orders. Geek5 will save you 15%. On orders $20 or more, Todd20 will save you 20% on a 1-year shared hosting account. And that's a beautiful thing for a content creator or for someone that's looking to get a great Christmas present. Boom, you get their great savings already, plus that 20% off for a 1-year shared hosting account. ComSail and ComSail 2 are used for .com purchases and .com renewals. So there's a whole bunch of codes there. Of course, I think the Todd Geek199 code is working still as well, so definitely check that out. Okay, let's go ahead and shift left, and let's just talk real quick here about what really happened over the weekend. Obviously, the 24 podcast started on Saturday at 11 a.m. and went for a full 24 hours, and really the topic of the day seemed to be everyone wanted to talk about where we're going from here with the media, what's happening next. They wanted to talk about OTT, and you know, we've talked about that a lot in this show. So it was a full day of talking about a variety of different topics. We had our Christmas special, Mike Smith from Mike Tech Show. We had Jeffrey Powers on from Geekazine, gave our Christmas giveaways. And actually, Mike Dell, who is actually one of our tech support guys, or the tech support guy at Raw Voice, he's actually told me, Todd, send over all the audio files from 24 Podcasts. I'll get them edited and start pushing them up into the 24-hour podcast feed. And I actually will try to get cranking on the videos as well so that we can get those put in the pipeline. During the middle of the show, about 8 hours in, of course, we had the sixth annual podcast awards show. And we didn't have as big a crowd this year. We had about 700 as compared to like 6,000 last year. So I really don't know where the disconnect came from, but maybe too close to Christmas. People were out at parties and so forth. But it was going decently. And besides so many of the winning podcasts not having sent in any information about their shows, and it really is kind of sad. You know, everyone voted for these guys, and then they don't show up to accept. And, you know, it's kind of disappointing. And I saw a lot of nasty comments about, where's this show at? Where's that show at? How come they're not here? We voted for them. But make a long story short, we got all the way to the mature category, announced the winner, and I had given, sent on an information packet with the call-ins to the Ohanasaurus pack there, and the Skype rings, and in comes the call, and I knew right away something wasn't quite right, because I heard something at the beginning of the audio call that sounded a little funny. And it within about maybe 30 seconds or so, I knew that I was being pawned. And basically, it was another show. And I basically hung up on them because system. And I was a lot irritated, I think. And then they immediately called back and swore at me. I cut them off again and moved through some other categories. And I called back again. So three times they called in. And it really set me off to the point where I've banned them, and I'm not going to change my mind. They're done. If their audience comes in and nominates them 100,000 times, even if people, they're never going to make. They're done forever for the podcast awards. I'll never allow them in. I've removed them from the website. You know, the joking was one thing. But the calling in and, you know, swearing at me and it was not called for. And, you know, a bunch of their fans thought it was funny. They didn't get very many votes. So, you know, obviously, they don't have a very big audience. So make a long story short, they're done. They're out. They're gone. I'm not even going to announce. You know, you'll find the information on the web, I'm sure, if you want to. But we continued through, and, you know, it's just one of those things. You know, you guys knew that I was really on the edge on whether or not I was going to do the awards again this year. But it just goes to show that when you have idiots like these guys, that there's really, you know, there has to be some serious consideration whether it will continue for next year. It really will. I'm going to have to do some serious contemplating on whether or not there will be a seventh annual. You know, the community has changed. Per se, for a certain retrospect of it, and you know, childish stuff like that. You know, I'll have to really think about it over the holidays and the new year. But you know, those of you that watch just kind of wonder what your comments were if you saw it. I've edited it all out, so it's pretty much not in the video. There is a place where you can watch it. I'm not going to advertise that link. There's been several people have linked it up to it on the website or on the internet already. But anyway, we got done with that. Continued 24-hour podcast. Ryan Ozawa finished me out at 5 a.m. here on Honolulu time, and we shut the stream down about 6 o'clock in the morning. We didn't raise as much money this year. We only raised about $300 for our charity, and that kind of disappointed me, because in years past, we've raised as much as $2,000, and this was really a low amount that we raised. But on the 29th, I'll go ahead and cut that PayPal payment over to that. And it is what it is, and you just really can't change things at all. But I do want to thank those that donated $5, $10 here and there. It was good, and it was definitely appreciated. Okay, let me look through the list here. Definitely still have the auditions open for new shows for Geek News Central. So if you sent one in before, please resend me that email. And again, I'm talking about months ago when we were talking about this. So I'm very serious now about moving into launching new shows here at GNC. In the new year, and I hope that you'll be part of that. The I guess the last things last, if you're going to Vegas, consider Luxor. Luxor is going to be the place where we're going to be headquartered for CES, and I'm going to have the whole team out there. We'll be talking more about Luxor and what their opportunities and what's available for services. And once we're there and we sample all their, you know, their different buffets and the I go eat in their different restaurants and maybe even play a little and do a little gambling on the casino. We'll let you know how that all works out. But there's a link on the website if you want to save some money. If you're going to Vegas for New Year's, consider Luxor. Book through them. Book through our website and give us some credit there and help us get them some, you know, some recognition for supporting us for the CES 2011 coverage. And I think that you guys are going to be excited about that. You know, that's really ramped up too. I think I've gotten about 90 companies booked already for the live show. And of course we've got hundreds that want us to come by our booths. So the team's going to be busy. We have so much to do. We don't have time to do it all. It's just the way it kind of works every year. And, so anyway, but let me talk about the Christmas schedule. I'll be obviously doing a show this coming Thursday, and that's going to be going on normal. I'll be doing a show, of course, the Monday after Christmas, and then I'll be doing kind of a year-in-review show on the 30th. So I hope that you'll join me. If you're off on vacation, feel free to join me. And here's the most important thing. When you're going to family members' houses for the holidays and you see someone get that new portable media device or they've gotten a new phone or they have gotten an iPod or whatever it may be, an iTouch or a Zune or whatever it is, make sure you tell them about this show and make sure you show them how to get the show on their phone and get them subscribed. We build the most amount of listeners between Christmas Day and about February 15th. That's our highest growth period, and we want you guys to help grow the show during really about that 6 to 8 week period where there's fabulous growth because of all these folks having new devices. And of course, if you're getting a Roku for Christmas and it's already wrapped under the Christmas tree, definitely get subscribed to the Tech Podcast Network on the Roku or Boxy. Okay, let's go ahead and get into the content, and then we'll get into get you guys here what you're here for. I've already went way too long on just chat stuff. Let me bring this up as a cue, get that ready to go. There we go, and bring up Chrome. And I got a ton of stuff. Boy, oh boy. Well, of course, the lunar eclipse is, for many of you, going on right now. So if you're watching this show live and you are on the East Coast or you are in out in California, you need to be walking outside and looking at the moon if you can see it. It's raining like crazy here. I think we've gotten 6 or 7 inches in the last 36 hours. But there's going to be a huge lunar eclipse tonight. You don't need nothing special. You just need your eyeballs to watch it. So, this is the first lunar eclipse. It coincides with the winter solstice. So, this is the first time in 372 years. And really what it's going to start between 2:35 a.m., which is right now, and 2:41 a.m. Eastern, or 3:53 a.m. to 4 a.m. Eastern. So, you know, get out, go, just leave right now and go outside and look at this thing if you're watching live. If anyone's got a clear view of the sky and you're up in the chat room, we definitely want to hear from you on if you can see it. And let us know let me look here, the clock, it's 1:35. Sorry, you got an hour. I sent you outside too soon because I forgot about the time change. So you got an hour, don't worry, come on back. All right, let's move on here. And I'm sorry for coughing in your ear. All right, apparently NEC is bringing a whole mess of Android to CES, including dual screen tablets. Lots of information coming out about that, so we'll definitely be running over there to see them. And dual screen cloud communicator tablet, a single screen tablet, personal product, mobile netbook, and some marketplace stuff coming along as well. So we're excited to see what NEC is going to be bringing to the market for Android. But big news really today was about Google and reportedly delaying the CES launch of Google TV devices. Apparently Toshiba and a whole bunch of other television companies were ready to go with their Google TV offerings. And Google said, oh, hold up. We don't want you to show it at CES. And, you know, here's the thing that's a kicker. These companies have been planning their booths for months. They've been designed. Multi-million dollar booths have been designed on where everything is perfectly going to go and laid out in the positioning of all that gear. And here we are, really about 14 days away from the show opening. And they tell him they don't want him to show anything. If I was an executive, I think I'd have had a call executive to executive, and I'd have been like, hey, Eric, you know, and we'd have had a conversation. So Google's reportedly pushing a major update to try to address some of the issues with the software. And so we'll see what happens here. We'll talk a little more about Android as we go on. And I've got some advice for Google. But, you know, obviously they're in damage control mode. But they did roll out Google TV's first software update. And they've also introduced a remote control app for Android. So I have some information that available for you from ehomeupgradeup.com. So I guess we'll see. We'll see what happens with this. And I don't know. What do you guys think? Personally, I still think that the, you know, the Google TV is going to be a winner. But, you know, there's just a few things they got to do or things they should have done to really have, you know, we still don't have an API. We still can't develop to it. You know, what is up with that? You know, I think if I was at Google HQ, I'd have been like, publish the API now. Get it on the street. Get people developing so we can get some channels in this thing. Get some content. You know, Sony's multi-millions of dollars invested in this with sets, with hardware, you name it. A big risk. And then for them to be blowing it like this is just, you know, that's not the Google I was expecting. That's for sure. You know, they got cut off by these, by the networks. They should have knew that was going to happen. They should have known. You know, the network smelt money. Google thought, hey, we're open. We're just going to make people have access to this stuff. Networks, you know that was going to happen. You know, they're all about control. You know, just like Apple, you know. So, you know, we're going to talk more about network control and devices coming to your home soon. And what I was really worried about is happening faster than I thought it would, but we'll talk about that here in a few minutes. Hey, I want to talk again. We use Yelp. We use an iPad app called Yelp. Let me bring this up. That one. There we go. Yelp's new iPad app. Boy, oh boy, is a feast for the eyes. One thing. Have you ever been in a restaurant, read through the offerings, and you know, you ask the waitress what's good, and she gives you her favorite dish, and it's maybe something that you know is not too appealing to you on the menu. But the new Yelp iPad app allows you to take pictures of the dishes. I guess the restaurants can submit them too. And then people can vote for them. And they tell the prices and what it looks like. I think this is pretty cool. You know, I like to see the food is how it's served actually on the table. And, you know, how it comes and what it looks like. I mean, we often take pictures of stuff when we're, you know, in restaurants and we're doing food reviews. I think this is going to help people have choice. It's going to help restaurants make some changes to their menus too. This can only be good because if I go in and I have something, and you know, traveling 100 and some days a year, as much as I eat out, you know, I get into a place and I, you know, believe me, I've had it from worst to fantastic. And some of the worst dives in the world that you've ever could imagine has had some of the best foods, and you go to some of the most fancy places and the food is like, throw that in the trash. So if I can vote on the dishes and then share that with other people, then I think that would be big, really, really would. So we'll see how this new iPhone, this new iPad app works out for Yelp. I'm kind of excited about it. It's one of the apps I use on a regular basis as well. All right, let's talk about TiVo just a little bit. And boy, oh boy, there's a lot of controversy going on with TiVo right now. It appears that TiVo's cable partners, and I didn't know that TiVo had cable partners, but TiVo cable partners are forbidden to enable Netflix and Hulu Plus on their set tops. So it turns out that that any cable operator that TiVo licenses its platform to, I guess I knew that. Yeah, I did. Cannot put Netflix or Hulu on it. So this is huge. So if you get a TiVo, again, from your cable provider, and you pay for it, then you just be advised Netflix or Hulu is going to be banned from it. They're not going to allow it. And that's a little concerning, isn't it? But, you know, it just blows me away that the folks at TiVo are just putting these types of restrictions on. But essentially what's happening is it's a competition thing. It's all about the money, right? You get your TiVo and it's internet connected. You start watching Netflix. You start watching Hulu. You start saying, why do I need this cable? Why do I need this cable connection? So they're trying to, you know, limit the number of people that can get Netflix if they haven't bought a new device. So they're the ones feeling the pinch here. It goes right back. Follow the money, folks. All about following the money. Now, the folks that have done really well are the folks at Roku. And they finally have announced some new numbers. And, you know, we're a big fan of Roku. This show, many of you watch the show now on Roku. But Roku sales doubled when Apple TV launched, according to ehomeupgrade.com. And this was right after, again, right after Apple TV launched. And here's what the company president is saying. Roku is on track to sell its millionth device within the month and reach a $50 million in revenue. Roku expects to hit $100 million in revenue in 2011. So, you know, here's the thing. I like the guys over at Roku, but they really are tight on their money. They really are. And, you know, they have to be. Any business these days, I'm sure the margins on these boxes are not very much, considering, you know, how much you're selling them for. But that's pretty good. And it's Amazon's number one best-selling digital media device right now, which is good. And I'm glad that we're on that platform. I'm glad we have three of the 100-and-some channels available on the Roku. And we're bringing more to you as well. So stand by on that. So pretty good stuff here. So anyway, good. You know, I hope Roku keeps on cranking. Now, to throw a little water on the fire, I thought we had at least 2 to 3 years before Comcast, Time Warner, and all these other companies were really ready to bring a new smart TV a smart TV set-top box to market. But apparently some Comcast subscribers, a few, are currently testing a new set-top box prototype that's capable of displaying content from the web, live TV, on-demand, and from the DVR using a unified search function similar to Google TV. Apparently, the set-top box is currently able to stream content from selected internet sources. Again, select, in other words, restricted, and can update social profiles, but it can't surf the web or install apps at the moment. And according to the Wall Street Journal, Comcast is not sure how they're going to price the device or if they're going to launch it anytime soon. And again, additionally, what's more, what they're suggesting is Comcast should forget about charging a premium to use such a device and just roll it to a next generation cable box or remain competitive. You know, here's the thing. You can be absolutely guaranteed. This is what's going to happen. Comcast is going to bring this thing to market. Now listen up, Comcast customers. They're going to bring this thing to market and make it available to you. You're going to get this device, or your friends are going to get this device. You guys don't know what's going to be up because you're listening to the show. You're going to get this device. You're going to plug it in HDMI 1 on your big screen, and you're going to be offered a few meager offerings of web apps and channels and, you know, some stuff that coincides equally with what is already in the cable lineup. But when you try to get this show on that device, it's not going to happen. Now, if it happens, I'll simply fall on my chair and have a heart attack because I just don't, based on everything I heard at several conferences, they're not going to do it. They're not going to give you access to this content via that device. But they're going to try to compete. They're going to give you a few meager offerings. They're going to give you a little taste, you know? Like, here's a little taste of content so that you won't be inclined to go out and buy a Boxy, a Roku, a Voodoo box. You're not going to be inclined to buy a next internet-connected TV because that's too much of a hassle. It's too many cords and cables. Who wants to switch to HDMI 2? You know, the battle is for HDMI 1, and Comcast have billions of dollars to make it happen. They don't care about Todd. They don't care about Revision 3. They don't care about Leo Laporte. Now, if you can get in there, man, oh man, hold on to your hat. Hold on to your hat. You're going to hit the big time. But you better have some sort of a kiss, a little taste of dollars. You better have some dollar bills. And then these are all $1 bills. These are all my, this is my tip money for Vegas. You know, you better have a little $1 bill, not $1 bills. You better have a bag of hundreds or, you know, a bag with several $1 million in it to, you know, pay them for access, to get access to this device. Would it be worth it? Pay to play, right? The question is, how much would it cost to pay to play? And they're not going to let you on for free. There's no way. There's no way they're protecting that. They're protecting their monopoly. So for Christmas, you got time. Buy a Roku. Buy a Boxy. Have it FedExed overnight. Plug it in. Show all your friends. Tell them how they can get all this great media. Spread the word. Give 5 of them away. They're $50 a piece. They're great Christmas presents. Give them away. Tell them to subscribe to this network. I know. I'm self-promoting. But I'm passionate about it. I really am. All right. Adobe. Adobe has clocked its first $1 billion quarter ever. $268 million in profit. I was like, huh? I thought the flash was going away, and I thought Adobe was in trouble. Not at all. $1 billion quarter, first ever. Wow. What a party you would have. All right, parents. I told you my story, right? I told you my story about having not changed my password to the Apple Store, and a certain little young man having a little field day and with a certain app and getting whacked for some charges. Well, there's lots of apps out there now that if you've bought an app and your kids are in them and they go through and they buy some stuff with their iPad, you may end up with one amazing bill. Now, Apple has to do something about this. This is a game. It's called Smurfberry. All right, if I was a parent, delete this thing, all right? Delete Smurfberry. And look for these apps, too, that try to charge you for extras, for a wheelbarrow or whatever. Smurfberries may grow freely on magical trees, but a virtual wheelbarrow full of them will cost you $60. Charged to your credit card, tied to the credit card that you have in the store. Yes. So be careful, okay? Kids don't know. Hey, yeah, great. Let's push that. I want more. This is more fun with more Smurf berries. Ka-ching, 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 ka-ching. So a lot of parents are getting whacked. I don't know what Apple's doing about it. Take it from me. Lesson learned. If I buy an app, I log off, make sure that the pass, it's not going to happen anymore. I can guarantee you that. All right, Novatel has launched a new LTE modem, and it's for Verizon. It's the third device that Verizon has come out with. I'm a big fan of Novatel devices. This is Windows and Mac compatible, so if you live in a Verizon LTE area that's launching, you should consider getting this device, and I will link up for it in the show notes. They don't tell the pricing on it yet, and there's no word on a release date, but I can almost guarantee they're probably going to be showing up at CES. And there's some rumor about a lot of LTE devices going to be available at CES, and obviously Las Vegas is going to be an area that's going to be turned on early. Have you heard about this Google Body browser? And this is pretty cool. And the folks over at Engadget, got a brief glimpse. Let me bring this up for you. The folks over at Engadget got a brief view of the Google body browser, and they say something in the article I don't fully understand. Let me read from the article. It says, we got a brief glimpse of Google's body browser at the Chrome event earlier this month, and wouldn't you know it, the violation of privacy simulator / learning tools hanging out in Google Labs. A browser with WebGPL support is required, which means Firefox 4, Chrome 9 betas, or Chrome 8 if you enable it in the About Flags menu. The visualization of options are interesting, and the search tool works like a charm, so why not? So I don't understand what they're talking about, this violation of privacy simulator. But basically, this is, I think this is a great science tool. You know, they've got all kinds of, stuff out there now. And nothing like learning about us, right? So pretty cool stuff there by Google. And really helping out on the education front. Again, Verizon is teasing Android LTE hardware for January 6th at CES. And one thing that we're going to do is we're going to make sure that we have some people at the Verizon press release. Those type of events usually have some pretty big news, so we'll keep you advised on that. We've got so many requests right now. Man, it's hard to decide which event to go to, which one's going to be more important, because everyone's being so secretive about what they're going to release. We've gotten a few NDA stuff that I've reviewed, and there's some cool stuff coming, but it's... I'm sure the day after Christmas, we're going to get slammed with another round of 500 emails a day with some announcements coming. Hey, Xerox is showing off a smart document review table. And this looks like a perfect product for a law firm. And essentially what it does is the documents have already been scanned into a scanner. And then you can find stuff with different folders. You can organize them and use tags and keywords. And I think this is just going to be faster to organize documents instead of sitting in front of a computer. They've actually got a table that they're using. And there's a video on this. And it's pretty cool. But it's definitely not a product for everybody. But I think this is going to be the way to organize documents that, reams and reams of documents are created by a variety of different firms. Information out of AT&T today. AT&T has bought Qualcomm's Flow TV spectrum for a cool $1.9 billion. And obviously they're going to be converting that Flow TV spectrum to probably 4G. It's located in a lower 700 megahertz range. This bit of wireless space is set to cover more than 300 million people nationwide, and AT&T expects it to play an important role in future 4G network rollout and development. It's going to take them a little while to get the move, but Qualcomm, $2 billion for a little bit of RF spectrum. And I guess AT&T is hedging. They know that there's not a lot of spectrum left, and they need to get busy here. Every once in a while, when I go over to this website at killerstartups.com, they have a hard time serving their pages. I don't know if they don't have enough server bandwidth. But there's a new company out called iBuildApp.com. And really, this is a way to build apps for your iPhone. And I finally have, Tom has not been able to finish the iPhone app for GNC. So I'm at this point going to moving forward with a different option to get the app built, and I'm considering using these guys, and I have no choice at this point. It's been a year, and it's the app isn't built yet, so I have to move forward at this point. But anyway, that's a cool option at iBuiltApp.com. Another one is, how many of you guys rent apartments and you move into a new town and you really don't know where to rent from? You got to ask around and people tell you, well, you rent this place or you rent that place. And there's a good site now called donotrent.com. And this is a place to look at when you're getting ready to sign a lease. You can learn about apartments. You can learn about nasty landlords. You can learn about folks that don't return deposits, the little tricks that certain people play in certain areas. This is an actual database of properties for rent and is subdivided into categories with apartment rental homes, military housing, student housing, and vacation rentals. And it also has a section devoted to landlords, managers. And this is a place where you can find where not to rent. And, of course, I think they're going to have some data in there, probably some links to some other sites where it'll show you where to rent, I'm sure. But anyway, check that out. I haven't personally looked at this, so if anybody's looking for a place to rent, check it out. Let me know if you think it lives up to its reputation. And I found that over at killerstartups.com. Windows Live Writer 2011 is out, and they've made some changes to it. So if you're looking for a blog writing application, Windows Live Writer is available. And the menu bar is pretty cool on it. It's looks like they made some major advancements to it. So it's going to be pretty cool. I think it really will be. So anyway, Windows Writer 2011. I have the link up to the up to this in the show notes. Hey, there's still time. If you buy between now and 11:59 Pacific Standard Time on December 22nd, Amazon is going to offer free one day. Yes, free one-day shipping on electronics. So this is for select electronics, software, and video games. If you order between now, between 11:59 and December 22nd, they are going to, again, ship it overnight so you get it before Christmas. And that's cool, except nothing ships to Hawaii for free. So for me, it doesn't work. But again, it's for select electronics available at Amazon.com. How many of you done all your shopping at Amazon.com this year? I have. Okay, so let's get back to some hardcore tech. Level 3 is saying that Comcast lied on the dispute and broke an NDA. So Level 3 is taking a new tack with its ongoing dispute over interconnection fees sought by Comcast. We know that Comcast complained about Level 3 and the Netflix deal Level 3 had made, saying they're moving too much traffic and they need to pay us because it's not fair. Well, make a long story short, the Level 3 saying they broke an NDA and they didn't negotiate in good faith or whatever. But check this out. Level 3 sent a letter to the FCC last week that takes aim at Comcast's proposed deal to merge its cable network with assets of NBC Universal and take majority stake in the new entity. In its letter filed with the FCC, Level 3 has criticized Comcast's actions during its interconnection dispute, implying that those actions contradict statements it has made in its filings with the FCC during the review process. Level 3 is asserting that Comcast is behaving in an anti-competitive manner, especially with respect to its upcoming NBCU deal, by requiring service providers like Level 3 to pay for interconnection. The argument goes, Comcast be acting as a de facto gatekeeper, making it pricier for services that compete with NBC Universal online properties to reach Comcast subscribers. In Level 3 letter to the FCC, Assistant Chief Legal Officer John Ryan wrote, and again, this is from GigaOhm.com, even if the market for online video is separate from the markets for cable programming, the transition impacts competition. At present, NBC Universal and Hulu have no ability to impact their competitors' costs of access to online subscribers. After the transaction, NBC and Hulu will go through Comcast, have the ability and the incentive to increase costs of access to Comcast subscribers. So this is pretty hardcore stuff. Comcast wants us cake and eat it too. Hey, we got NBCU, we got Hulu. We're going to send that data through to everyone else in the world. But, oh, you want Netflix to come in? Write me a bigger check. Now, tomorrow, the FCC is going to announce their net neutrality stuff. So we'll see what happens there. At the near the end of the show, I'm going to send you to a website. It's going to have 5 books you can buy on net neutrality that talk about the functions and the risk that we're running, good and bad, on what the FCC is supposedly proposing. So I'll have that linked up for you. All right, I told you at the beginning of the show I'd talk a little bit about Google TV. And there's an article on GigaOhm that breaks down 5 ways to save Google TV. And I think I agree with a couple of these. Google TV needs simplicity. I agree that the current iteration of Google TV is a little bit complex. they need to break it down and have, and they go into real deep on what they need. But here's what they really need. On the Roku, anybody can use their menu system. On Google TV, you got this huge honking remote with a keyboard and some other stuff. They need to dumb it down, make it easier to use. I agree, Google TV needs apps. That's the number two in the list on this article. And obviously, Google TV needs a killer app. They need many killer apps. I've got four of them ready. I got four of them ready to submit as soon as we get the API and we can get them coded up and put in. I've got four ready to go, four killer apps. We know that there's an estimated 200,000 apps available for Android phones. But if you ask Android users what they can live or live without of, and you know, there's maybe a handful. Google TV needs to embrace cord cutting. You know, this should be the purpose of Google TV, is to, you know, make it so that you consider cutting that cord. That will really blow, that will really drive sales. It really will. And it'll also get the networks to play ball. And they say here, finally, Google TV needs to be social. I don't know how social it needs to be, but that's what they say. I don't necessarily agree with that. I think apps and simplifying the remote are the two big things. Gigo, my house has a great story about cord cutter survival stories. And I'm just going to, this is too long to go through. So I'm going to have it linked up in the show notes. You can check it out. But it's a good write-up. Thinking about cutting the cord? How many of you want to cut the cord with me? How many of you want to go there? Let's get a group of us to cut the cord. If you want to cut the cord after January 1st, geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com. Call the voicemail hotline, 619-342-7365. Pledge. Todd, I'm going to cut the cord after January 1st. Let's do it. Let's do it together. Let's make the move. Let's impact them. How many of you guys want to cut the cord? Get your families on board. Save some money. Let's all save some bucks. We can save ourselves at least $100 a month each, right? Okay, so let's cut the cord on January 1st. How many of you want to do it? Email me, geeknews@gmail.com. I'm convinced it's time to go. I really am. Vogue Duel's time to equip USB charger. Let's talk about that. You know, green is, I think we're going to see a huge amount of green stuff at CES. And I want green stuff that's smart. I want to, when my iPhone is done charging, I want the charger to shut off. You know, all these transformers drawing current. We need to get smart on this stuff, and we need to be able to say, okay, no more current draw. Let's shut the power off. What I'm looking here has a looks like a timer. I don't want a timer. I want a device that's smart. So we're going to try to get these guys on. It allows 2, 4, 6, or 8 hour charging. Once the timer runs out, the charger draws no electricity at all, meaning it won't be passively run up your electricity bill. And it can charge up to 4 devices at once. So we'll definitely be seeing them at CES. Also, PowerMat wireless charging for your iPhone. Love this. This is beautiful. And we've already scheduled PowerMat. They're going to be on. So they're going to be bringing a whole bunch of stuff to the booth and showing us. So we'll have this all live for you during the show. And we'll be talking about the schedule a little bit as we get closer, posting some of the companies that are going to be on. And if you want a great gag gift for the holidays, over at Ogizmo, they've got a refrigerator magnet upgrade. All I can say is, I have the link up in the show notes. And if you've got a junk refrigerator, this is a great $6.95 product to buy to put on your fridge. Now, I bought my Christmas present. Let me show you my Christmas present. I bought a Canon 60D. And it's a pretty nice camera. And I've been playing with it for about a week. And it's the only real drawback so far on this this camera is that the body is not the real super strong body. It's the plastic body. So, you know, this is my first big body camera purchase in 5 years. We've got another camera that is one of the original Canon Rebels. So there's a company called Camera Armor, and they've got an armor package that go around your DSLR to protect it. It costs about $40. And I saw this tonight, and I thought, man, this is perfect. I'm going to order one of these for my Canon. And it looks, I mean, it's going to make your stuff look a little hokey, but you know what? It's the $40 for this armor is a lot cheaper than the Delta buying the Canon model that was like $500 more. So pretty excited about this. I'll definitely be ordering this. It's available at cameraarmor.com, and I have a link up for you in the show notes. Hey, let's talk about the MPAA and RIAA. Over the past year, you know, all these seizures have been happening. It's not surprising that in the last quarter, now I want you guys to think about how things work in Washington, D.C. Money talks, right? In the last quarter, the RIAA and MPAA together spent $1.8 million on lobby efforts in Washington, D.C. $1.8 million. Now, I want to ask yourself, who do we have representing us in Congress? Our representatives, right? People that we've elected. But when you have $1.8 million worth of, you think about lobby efforts. $1.8 million in lobby efforts? That is an insane amount of money. How many people can you employ and have on the street knocking on representatives and senators' doors, essentially 24/7, pushing their agenda? A lot. The MPAA has been lobbying the Three Strikes Anti-Piracy Initiatives with a variety of senators. And the vice president was involved in declaring war on digital piracy earlier this year. You know, it's obvious they spend millions of dollars out there. And it's no wonder that all those domains were seized. You know, money talks, right? We need someone in Washington that will lobby for us. You know, and I'm not saying that peer-to-peer stuff and downloading content is good, okay? But there needs to be a balanced conversation in Washington. We need someone to represent us. And it really, there isn't. If there is, someone point me in the right direction. I know the EFF does stuff, but the EFF, you know, does a lot of legal representation, but I don't think they do as much lobbying. Now, as part of this domain seizures, a lot of websites are dropping the .com. And they've continued their exodus towards using .me and a variety of other domain extensions. I don't know if this is going to protect them. You know, we'll see. We'll see what happens here. TorrentZ has dumped its .com and domain in favor of .eu. I don't know if that's going to help. So anyone visiting the old site automatically gets redirected to the new one. And it's bewildering what they're doing here. And I just don't know if this is really going to help. I don't know if that protects them, really. Only time will tell. We'll see how this goes. Hey, Google announced today a bunch of stuff on their, what they've done to stay green in 2010. Talking about wind farms in North Dakota, offshore wind transmission, working on some stuff in the Mid-Atlantic, talking about developing green products and tools with in conjunction with the UN, talking about flexibility in buying renewable energy, talking about many of their data centers being the most efficient on the planet and using renewable energy. So I have a good write-up today. I'll have a link up for you in the show notes. You can check that out on the Google official blog. Hey, NASA completed a shuttle tanking test today with no issues, and it's going to take a couple of days to analyze the data collected. But so far, they're pretty happy. So right now, we're still scheduled for a February 3rd launch. Along with that, a Soyuz dock at the International Space Station bringing 3 new crew members up. They're due to be there until May. So they're safe and sound. So good luck with the projects that are going on with them. Talked about a little earlier about some books on net neutrality. And Internet Architecture and Innovation by Stanford resident expert is a good one. And this is one that I've read through quite a bit. Another great book is The Master Switch by Tim Vu. I've actually picked that up today. And I've been I've actually added that to my Kindle. Virtual Freedom, haven't checked this one out. But Uninhibited, Robust, and Wide Open is another book. I have a link up to these books in my show notes. But it's time we all get educated on net neutrality and what it means and what the deep ramifications are. And we'll watch what the FCC announcement is tomorrow, and we'll have analysis on that on Thursday. You know, a lot of people are a little worried about what's going on there. You know, up to this point, I've been kind of a proponent of net neutrality from the single aspect that I don't want packet shaping. I don't want internet companies delaying my packets for services that I'm paying for, whether it be Netflix, whether it be podcasts, whether it be movies I buy from Amazon. Doesn't matter where I get the content. I don't want any, I want equal movement of that traffic. And so there's a number of offerings here. Positive, you know, both sides of the equation, some for, some against. I'm trying to get both sides of the some perspective on both sides so that I can really talk to you guys in depth about this as we move forward. So these far acting, these, you know, far reaching rules are going to be debated in Congress, I'm sure. So we'll see what happens here. And of course, the one book that I've reviewed today and did the write up is the one that's Uninhibited, Robust, and Wide Open. It's about the constitutional focus. And this is done by a professor at the actually, he's the president of Columbia. Wow. So this is, that's interesting. So anyway, I have this up in the show notes. You guys can check it out. And I hope some of you enjoy me in reading some of these or maybe in getting them on Audible. I haven't checked to see if these are on Audible. Might be a good book to start off with it. Audiblepodcast.com/CES. All right. Google regrouping on Google TV. I've already talked about that. Why do I have that up there as a double article? As you guys know, there's a, I have to say this kind of low, there's a Kinect underneath the Christmas tree, right? Well, the folks at Microsoft have come up with, they're looking to improve the performance of Kinect, and they're saying that the current limitation resolution of 320 by 240 320 by 240 is going to be increased to 640 by 480, and that they're going to be increasing the amount of data that sensor can transfer, going from 15 to 16 megs per second to 35 megs per second. And the folks over Arsenica is saying with these improvements, Kinect could potentially be much more precise and able to recognize things like the rotation of the user's hand or individual fingers. So, this is a rumor here that's coming out of Microsoft. So we'll see what happens with that. Oh, oh Canada, oh Canada. And this is beautiful. If you live in Vancouver, you have to applaud your city council. The city of Vancouver doesn't like usage-based billing for internet access. They say this kind of traffic metering will act as taxed on innovation, free expression, and empowerment, according to the city council. In addition to metering, it discriminates against high bandwidth applications like audio and video, remove the caps. So yesterday, the Vancouver City Council passed a resolution on affordable internet access in Vancouver, which it rallied against UBB and blasted incumbent internet providers Bell Canada for imposing unjust financial limitations on how many gigabytes of usage their independent competitors can provide to their customers. This is good. Now, what is this going to mean? We don't know. They didn't. Those of you in Canada, those in Vancouver, listen to the show. Does that resolution mean they have to or they suggest? So Tom Copeland headed a coalition of small ISPs some time ago where they told Ars Technica that UBB was the wrong way to go. It's not carrier class method of doing business. Yeah, basically it was carrier discrimination, carrier to carrier discrimination. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with it. Come on, Canadians. I want to hear from you, especially those in Vancouver. All right. Hey, the BBC's got a great video. You ever want to see the inside of PayPal? Well, PayPal let some BBC reporters in to do a review of their high-tech control room. Pretty cool video. You need to check it out. Well, insider trading, boy, I'm glad to see some people going to jail. A number of people have went to jail and have been arrested for insider trading on Apple products and services. So this individual, at least one of the individuals, said that the individual provided inside information to clients of a Mountain View, California-based Primary Global Research LLC, which put in touch with it, investors. He was charging folks $22,000 for insider information. And you know, can't do the time, don't do the crime. And you know what? I have a stock tip for you, okay? And it's actually in an upswing right now, but I never give stock tips. And this is not from insider information. This is information you can find on the internet. Do some research yourself. Go out and look at Viasat 1. Look at this new satellite that's going to be punched up by Viasat. And it's supposed to go sometime in the spring. And look at the companies that they have purchased recently. And think about competition with Hughes. And the if you are a DSL customer on the fringe, on what this could mean to you and what they're going to be doing with Viasat 1. It's pretty exciting stuff. The footprint isn't going to look at Hawaii, but if I was in the lower 48, I'd be absolutely excited about this satellite launch. It is the first stock in a long time that I am considering investing significant dollars in. A lot of it has to do, you know, it's a lot of risk in that initial satellite launch and getting it up. But I think they have the potential of having a big win with this sat launch. So anyway, that's, I don't do that very often here, but I think there's some significant potential there. Next article talks about patents. And this is an article over on Tech Dirt. Appeals court says that diagnostic tests are patentable. You go to the doctor, they say, oh, you need a blood test for sugar. They run that blood test, and a company does it a little different. They patent that test. They can, that's a patentable idea, and it's been upheld in two courts, and doctors are very worried about this. Doctors have been worried about an ongoing patent lawsuit involved a company that claimed it could patent basic medical diagnostics and basically said that no one could diagnose patients in the same way without paying that company. So, so far, it's been upheld in court. Get ready for your diagnostic test to get more expensive. Feel like being a neighborhood snitch? Can you believe this? There's a new app out called the Patriot app. Now, this is not a government app. Some companies put this up. But why would you pay 99 cents to report suspicious behavior? The app does have a whistleblower section where you can report government waste. Who does this? The Patriot, perhaps. I'm reading through here. Again, it's not put out by the government. Instead, it's just some company that thinks people are crazy enough to make it easier for you to report suspicious behavior. Who are they going to send that to? The police? Sick. I mean, What's next? State Department spending millions, yes, millions of dollars to train foreign judges. See here, we have judges in the United States who make a salary. They get trained. But the State Department is spending millions of dollars to train foreign, outside of this country, non-U.S. citizens, non-U.S. citizen judges about intellectual property rights. The State Department has put out a press release announcing it has approved spending $3.36 million next year to train foreign judges and other law enforcement officials about intellectual property. That is government waste. $3.36 million of your and my dollars. This is just one little project. Only $3.36 million. How much did you pay in taxes this year? Is this ridiculous? Simply ridiculous. Makes me sick to my stomach. You into snowmobiling? You want to see a snowmobile jump 361 feet? Got a video for you. Link will be in the show notes. Yahoo says Delicious is for sale. It is not going to be shut down. It's for sale. Got a couple other good interest stories here for you. What to buy your college kid for Christmas? Also, if you're using iTunes or Apple TV to get movies, and if you're using Google DNS, you may want to consider changing it. Apparently, it's slowing down your connection. Good news on Gmail. Free Gmail calling through the end of 2011. And finally, Motorola has released a hype video about a CES tablet announcement. I'll have that link up in the show notes. I'm running long here on content. Let me get into the voicemail calls. I've got two that have come in, and I haven't reviewed these. So let's go ahead and play this. This first one may not be, this may be some spam caller. So we'll play it and we'll see. If you've got comments on today's show, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail hotline 619-342-7365. Here we go on the first hotline call. Hi,
my name is Chris.
You are?
And right now, we are in the process of contacting Numis representatives about a new lead generation system.
Wow, I need a lead generation system that is trying to sell me something via lead generation system. Actually, I had pretty good audio. Did you hear that? War dialer system. Okay, here comes another voicemail. Let's see who this one is.
Do you want more money?
Oh, of course.
ATM.
Yes, I want some more money. Boy, hey, we have gotten some real hot callers, the last two callers calling to the Hotmail. The hot, the hotline. I put this number on the national do not call list. I guess it they've just said that the heck with it. You can call the hotline at 619-342-7365 and leave your comments about the show. Geeknews@gmail.com is the email address. Let me see what we've got in here for. Oh, really? Who sent me this? Expiring domain notice. I need to make sure I haven't, I've forgotten to register one. Let me go ahead and see what we've got in, have you guys noticed, those of you that use Thunderbird or any other application to get your email, have you guys noticed how slow it's been to load recently? I mean, horribly slow. Really wild. Got two comments here. First one is from Jim. Todd, have you seen this? It's really good. Photographic documentation of space shuttle launch plays a critical role in the engineering analysis and evaluation process that takes place during each and every mission. Motion and still images enable shuttle engineers to visually identify off-nominal events and conditions requiring corrective action to ensure mission safety and success. This imagery also provides high inspirational education insight into those outside of the NASA family. It's got a YouTube video here on some of the best video imagery from STS-114, 117, and 124, rendered in the highest definition possible. So this is pretty cool. So I saw this video. Gotta watch it. This is the video of the day. It'll be in the listener show notes section, okay? I got an audio feedback. Hey, Todd, I hope you like my short review of the conference LeadWeb 2010, which took comparison recently. My feedback contains a shameless plug about my podcast. Tomorrow, the 25-minute audio interview I did of Phil LeBin, Evernote CEO. Thanks in advance. If you don't think, absolutely. Let's go ahead and we'll punch this up. I hope I can save this and get it into the hard drive before we run into time. And we're okay on time. So promos, date, save. How long is this going to take? We'll see how long it takes to download. Hopefully it's already there. Let me add a file. Yes, it's there. Let's see how long this is. Yeah, pretty short. All right, Pierre, here we go.
Hello, Todd. This is Pierre from France, long-time listener. We exchange some emails once in a while, but here is my first audio feedback to give you a short review of Le Web, a great conference which took place in Paris on December 8th and 9th. This conference was hosted, as usual, by Géraldine and Loïc Lemer, that you probably heard of, because Loïc is a famous French entrepreneur. He started Sismic a couple of years ago, and he's very well known on the internet. All the major bloggers were present, from Robert Scoble to Michael Arrington, and all the keynotes are available on YouTube. If you go to youtube.com/LeWebParis in one word, so it is LeWebParis, sorry, so one word, Le Web Paris. And for me, it was a great opportunity to hear some leading people of the web, from Marissa Mayer from Google to Denise Crowley from Foursquare. But the keynotes were great, but it was also a very good opportunity to do some networking with some people I knew only through Twitter or Facebook. And I also had the opportunity to do a 25-minute audio interview of Phil Libin, who is the CEO from Evernote. And during the interview, he shares some insights on his strategy to help Evernote to become more and more important in the professional area in the companies, you know. And so now here is the shameless plug. As you can guess, you can listen to the interview on my podcast, which can be found at lepcc.net. So thanks a lot for all you do, Todd, and Merry Christmas to all the GNC listeners. Ciao. Bye-bye.
Hey, thanks for that. I it's greatly appreciated, Pierre, for sending me that. And again, his website is, and this podcasters, that's the way to do a promo for your show. I'll play those all day long. You can find his show at lepcc.net, lepcc.net. So check it out, and I'll definitely be listening to this for sure. Hey, one or two more emails. I got one from Allie. He says, hey, Todd, for your information, he said, I've lost 24 pounds since September 19th when I started using the Calorie Counter by FatSecret.com app on my Droid, the top app of its kind for Droid. I only occasionally use it on my Droid these days, but instead just write everything down in paper and enter it, preferably after each meal is finished, on the FatSecret.com website. All home foods are weighed on a scale in grams before I eat them. Away foods are written down and estimated to be entered when I get back to my commuter. I still eat the same foods as before. I just eat less. That's the key, especially if high calorie ones. Simply being more aware of using this method, this probably will not work for everyone, but it does for me. Happy holidays, Alan. And actually, I missed an opportunity to get together with one of our listeners in San Diego. He was willing to share with me some of the stuff that he's done to help be more nutritionally fit, and to basically adapt a new type of lifestyle to lose weight. And I'm going to send him an email. Maybe we can get him to do a little 3 or 4 minute audio thing for us to share on a show after Christmas, so that we all can start to, you know, watch our calories and, you know, eat better come the new year. I got an email here too from Trucker Tom saying, talking about, what was this? UN Mall's internet regulation options. So it's an article from that. And I got an article from JP talking about making the transition from Delicious to Evernote. And I don't know if we've read this on the last show or not. This came from Nancy. I hear a lot of people complain that they can only get so many megabit down. I live in the country and we have a Wild Blue, I think owned by Viasat, satellite internet, somewhat much better than a dial, but not much. And I think, Nancy, you're getting a new satellite this spring. Okay, I think that's it for content. I want to share one last thing with you. This is a little bit of a rant. I got an email today from a press person that is doing a big press event at CES for Kenmore. And Kenmore, the manufacturer of appliances for your home, dish washing machines and so forth. Now, don't take this the wrong way, CeCe. Many of you, I know CeCe Chapman. I've known him for years. A very early podcaster, was in the very beginning. I don't know if he's still podcasting or not, but well known in the space. He's a good social media guy. Does all kinds of things. But anyway, I get this press, this email from this very serious press release, and in it it says, "Join CeCe Chapman, a leading technology blogger." And I'm like, CeCe isn't a tech blogger. Oh, you're asking me to join CeCe at Kenmore's booth for a special event led by a leading tech blogger. Folks, sometimes I love CeCe. I'm sure he's doing a great job for Kenmore, but he's not a tech blogger. Unless something has changed, he is a great social media guy. He's a great self-promoter. He does great stuff in the social media space, but he is not a tech blogger. So I just found, you know, I just looked at it and just shook my head. Do you think I'm going to go to the Kenmore event? If I see CeCe at the show, we'll say hello, chat. I'm going to talk with him and share this with him as well. But I just couldn't believe it. And I told the press person, I said, CeCe's not a leading tech blogger. I am not a leading tech blogger. I'm a blogger. I have a great podcast. I have a great bunch of writers, you know, but our traffic doesn't compare to is comparable to Engadget, Gizmodo, TechCrunch. Those guys that write for those sites, those are leading tech bloggers. Okay. I guess maybe, you know, that, you know, CeCe maybe was within their price range, but just think of the exposure Kenmore could have got by sponsoring what we're doing at CES and the millions of people we're going to reach through the content that we're doing. And yet he's going to have CeCe being a leading tech blogger is going to do a 1-hour special thing or a little round table, a tech round table. But anyway, long story short, wow. All kinds of stuff going on at CES. It just blew my mind. We'll talk about it later. I'll probably make a lot of people angry, but we'll stop at that. I'm long. Time to go by. All right, everyone. Have a great week. Hope you're ready for Christmas. Merry Christmas to everyone. I know we're going to do one more show before Christmas, but I hope you all have a great holiday. And if you're getting ready to travel, be safe, drive safe, fly safe, eat lots of great food. Let's get ready to lose weight together after the holidays. All right, that's it. We'll see you on Thursday. Everyone take care. And aloha.